And today I'm going to read the epistle from St. John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Okay. Pilate then entered into the praetorium and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "Do you say this of yourself, or have others told it to you concerning me?" Pilate said to him, "Why, am I a Jew? Your own people and the high priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus said to him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not here." And Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" And Jesus said to him, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this very thing I came to the world, that I may bear witness concerning the truth. Whoever is of the truth will hear my voice." And this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. I went back and pulled it in out of the original Greek, and there were some interesting things that I found in this passage of Scripture, and I'm just going to share it with you today, because it says here, in verse 37, "So Pilate said to him, 'Then you are a king?'" All right, does anybody have their Bible here? Anybody have a Bible? There's a chair? No, there's not one there. Okay. If you would do me a favor and look up, please, John chapter 18 and verse 37. All right. And so what we have in the NIV, actually I researched 100 translations of the Bible, and only 4 of them had it right. All right? And that is in the, "You are a king," is in the accusative case, and for you English majors, you know that the accusative case is a declaration of fact. All right? And so, Jesus is talking to Pilate, and Pilate says, "Oh, so you're a king." It's a declaration of fact. And Jesus responds, let me put it in today's vernacular, "You said it." Okay? And it, "You have said, and it is true," blah, blah, blah. So in today's language, "You said it, Pilate. I am a king." And so today, as we're celebrating Christ the King Day, if I were wearing vestments today, I would be wearing all white. This is one of the white vestment days, is Christ the King Day. And you have this confrontation. Some people would think this is the end of Jesus' ministry. And he has been arrested. All the events of the Garden of Gethsemane have already transpired. He's been arrested and brought before Pilate, and Pilate, I want you to know, Pilate was not a man of base knowledge, he was a very smart man. He was an educated man. He was put in the position that he was put in by those above him, because he had to deal with kings and queens and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, we know that during this time in Israel, Israel was ruled by a tetrarch, which means there were 4. There were 4 kings. I might be saying the tetrarch wrong. But there were 4 kings, and all of them had different levels, and they were basically assigned by Rome. Okay, so Herod, yeah, he was in there, but he wasn't the king, he was one of the kings and all of that. And so, all of this to say that when Jesus presented himself, and he spoke to Pilate as a man, not as somebody who has just gotten the living fire beat out of them, not as someone who is coming up in disgrace, in dishonor, he's been defeated in battle or whatever. No, he's standing before Pilate, and they are conversing, and it is so obvious to Pilate as they're talking that Pilate mentions this almost dismissively. Oh, so you are a king. All right. You're a king. Listen, if a sinner like Pilate can see that Jesus is the king, why couldn't the rest of the Jews who were looking for the king? Because Jesus didn't match up to their expectations. Amen? And so many times we see that people experience life through different lenses. We know that, for instance, in law enforcement, you would think that an eyewitness would be the greatest evidence that you can place in court. But actually, the police and the prosecutors, everybody understands that an eyewitness report is probably one of the least dependable reports. Why? Because everybody's looking at something else. Alright? If I'm holding a gun in somebody's face or somebody's holding a gun in my face, basically, because the way I am, I'm looking at that and says, man, that's a .45 caliber pistol he's put in my face. Well, describe the guy who was holding you up. He was carrying a .45 caliber pistol. All right? Well, great, so does half of Texas, all right? But, what good is that going to do? Or I might be into tennis shoes or something, and I might be saying, man, I don't know, that guy was wearing a really nice set of, Nikes, or maybe he's wearing some nice Italian leathers or whatever. You know, if that's where I was, I'm not going to notice the weapon he's carrying so much. Look at the kicks that guy's wearing. This guy is dressing up. I like this guy. We all have different things that are us, and we look at other people through this filter that is our life's experience. Amen? And so, the people in law enforcement, especially in courts, once this thing has to go to court, just because you say that person was there doesn't necessarily mean that, yes, that person was there. All you got to do is watch two or three episodes of Perry Mason, and you will find out real quickly, it doesn't matter what the eyewitnesses say. Perry Mason's going to tear them apart. All right? And so here we go, as Pilate is now one-on-one with this man. He deals with loyalty. He deals with the scum of the earth. He's the prosecutor. He is the executioner. He is, you name it, that's his responsibility. And he looks at Jesus. And he hears what the Jews have to say. And he's a little, he gets a little put out with Jesus. This is kind of funny. He says here, Jesus, first when Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus asked him a question. Okay, I have to know, Pilate, are you saying this because you know this to be true, or are you asking this because other people have said this? All right? And Pilate gets a little upset with Jesus, and he says, well, what? Am I a Jew? In other words, what do I care? What do I care what the Jews have to say? I'm not a Jew. I don't care. He said, what? Am I a Jew? Your own people and the high priest have delivered you to me, and now I need to know, what have you done? All right, so he's laid his cards out on the table. Okay, Jesus, what have you done? And Jesus just comes out and he says to him, I haven't really done anything. My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought so that I wouldn't have been delivered to the Jews. We wouldn't even be talking right now. Pilate, I mean, you're asking if I'm the king of the Jews and all of that. If I really was, we wouldn't be talking. And Pilate is able to discern from this. This guy really is the king. How cool. Now, I don't think at this point Pilate is saying, wow, I'm face to face with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is recognizing that Jesus obviously isn't crazy, and he is making the statement, I am the king, and Pilate comes to that conclusion, then you are a king. And Jesus said to him, you said it. Okay, you say that I am a king, but you said it. For this I was born, for this very thing I've come into the world, that I may be bear witness concerning the truth. Whoever is of the truth will hear my voice. And at this point, Pilate wants nothing to do with Jesus. He is saying, this man should not be here before me. This man is a king. I've come to that conclusion on my own. This is a king. And because his kingdom is not of this earth, see, the other thing that Pilate was charged with was keeping Roman peace. Alright? Now, peace to the Romans was have everybody so scared they don't dare do a thing. Alright? As long as everybody's scared of, you know, stepping out of line or whatever and getting smacked down, hung on a cross, crucified, whipped to death, whatever has been assigned as your punishment for stepping out of line, you know, just don't do that, then you have peace. And so you had, it was called Romanus Pax, the peace of Rome. It's not because the king of Rome is the king of peace. It's because Rome was so bloodthirsty that anything that you did wrong was going to be met with instant regret. You're going to be so sorry you did that. And so after this discussion, Pilate says, I really don't have anything more to do with this guy. He's a king. His kingdom's not of this world. Therefore, it's not going to interfere with Roman peace. Little did he know, alright, it's not going to interfere with Roman peace, and therefore, I really don't care what happens. But I've got this mob here on my front porch, and I've got to get rid of them. And so he goes about what he does, trying to get the Jews to back off on insisting that Jesus be crucified, because as Pilate has already determined, this man's a king. And his kingdom isn't of this earth, so it's no threat to Rome, it's no threat to me. And so I don't have anything to worry about, and neither should these silly Jews. And the other thing was, is to get that posting that Pilate had in Jerusalem, you had to be able to handle what Rome called the Jewish problem. Because in the eyes of Rome, Jews were a burr in their saddle. Because nothing but grief. Had revolutions quite regularly. And Rome learned real quick, you got, as soon as these people start making any kind of a squeak of protest, you got to come down on them. You need to come down on them hard. And so, Pilate is saying, there's nothing here. There's nothing here for me. But I've got these Jews on my doorstep. Let me get them to back off. And so Pilate presents to the Jews, here is this Jesus What do you want me to do? Crucify him. Well, Pilate's a smart man. He gets to think, you know, it's my habit, my tradition, that I set loose a criminal. Every year I set loose a criminal at this time to appease the crowd. And we've got Barabbas over here, and Barabbas is a murderer and a thief. He is a bad man. He's got Jesse James locked up, okay? And so he presents to him Barabbas. Okay, now I can set Jesus free, or I can set Barabbas free. To Pilate, he said, this is an easy question. Any sane person is going to say, don't let a murderer loose in our midst. Oh, no, please release Jesus. But that's not how the crowd was thinking that day. Release Barabbas. Pilate says, boy, that backfired. All right, then what do you want me to do with this Jesus, who is the King of the Jews? And they cried out, crucify him. And Pilate recognized that he was in a lose-lose situation. Yes, Jesus was a king, but he didn't have to worry about Jesus' followers because Jesus already told him that his followers were not of this world. Okay, so I can probably do what needs to be done with Jesus, and it's not going to come back on me. People learned a whole lot that day, just what's going to fly and what's not. Amen. So what do I do with Jesus? And they said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. You know, God had a lot of things planned for Israel. God knew that Israel was not going to accept Jesus as their Messiah. But, and I guess in God's infinite foreknowledge, he knew how the Jews were going to be responding, but that had to break God's heart, that they would say to the Son of God, crucify him, and let his blood be upon our heads and our children. Because just a few short years later, in 70 A.D., the Jews tried another rebellion. They were crushed instantly, and the Jewish nation ceased to exist for 1900 and however many years. It just stopped to exist. Why? Because God said, oh, you want his blood to be upon your heads and the heads of your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. That was a bad deal they made. 1948 years, but then you have to come back, 33 to 70 is 40, 36 years. So, yeah, it was about 1900 years that they would, from that time, from the time of the destruction of Jerusalem until 1948 when Jerusalem was reinstituted. But the message for today is, Pilate, in confronting Jesus, and Jesus was not dressed the part. He was not dressed as a king. He's already been beaten. He's already been abused. He's already been through all of this. He's in chains as he stands before Pilate. But Pilate recognizes the kingship of Jesus. Well, now, Jesus has died. Jesus has resurrected. Jesus has gone to heaven. And it's been, you know, a long time since all of this has happened. The church still remains. Amen. The body of Christ still remains. But my question is this. Would you recognize Jesus if he were to stand before you? Pilate, totally unschooled in the teachings of Messiah and whatever, he recognized that Jesus was the king. The Jews, several of them recognized Jesus was the king, but for the rest, Jesus didn't meet their expectations. See, they were looking for a conquering Messiah. Jesus didn't come the first time as a conquering Messiah. And so as eyewitnesses to the whole thing, they blew Jesus off. No, he can't be the conquering Messiah because he hasn't chased off Rome yet. And so the people that should recognize Jesus didn't. The people that knew Jesus the best, they've all tucked tail and run. They've all abandoned Jesus, all of his disciples and everything. They're following at a distance to see what's going on. It's some ungodly guy who you know, worships a pantheon of different gods who sees this guy is the king. And if Jesus were to appear before any of us, would we recognize him as the king? Well, if he shows up in a sheet and sandals like he wore 2,000 years ago, we might recognize him. If he showed up, you know, in a suit or sharp-looking slacks and a shirt and a tie, we may not recognize him because he doesn't fit our expectations. And then I've told this story before, coming from the Jesus Revolution of the late 60s, there were a lot of young people getting saved in parks, by streams, just out there, because there was a rejection of what their parents held sacred. But there were young ministers out there proclaiming salvation in the name of Jesus. And there were a lot of young people that got saved through that movement. And the story is told about the young person that goes and knocks on the door of the church. And I know that this type of thing happened because it happened to my friends. I didn't have a problem with it. My church was just so happy that I came back that they, you know, that's fine. He's back. That they knew they needed to be in church. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some are or is. And so they would go to church and knock on the door, and then the ushers would say, you can't come in here. Your skirt is too short. Your hair is too long. You've not shaved. You got holes in your pants. You're barefoot. You're wearing sandals. You can't come in. And so as the story goes, this one person he's met at the door of the church like this, and he goes to the curb, and he's just sitting in the curb, and he's crying. And somebody sits down next to him and says, what's wrong? And he says, I'm just not welcome there. And the man looks at him and says, that's okay. I'm Jesus, and they haven't welcomed me there for years. Amen? You got to be careful that your expectations of who the King and King and the Lord of Lords are, so that, you know, you're not looking through the filter of your life, but you're looking at him through the filter of his word. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And so when Jesus shows, if he were to show up here and he were to begin to speak, you would know it was Jesus. He's speaking the word of God. The things that he says are in full unity with the Word of God. That's Jesus. He is who he says he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fortunately for us and for the world, the Bible does prophesy that when Jesus does come back, there's not going to be any mistake about who he is. Amen. 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 We read that earlier. Verse, let's go back. Got to read this out of Revelation. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all of the tribes of the earth will wail. Oh, I tell you what, there's going to be two kinds of people on that day. Amen? Amen. So be it. Or so shall it ever be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. And those that have gone through their life rejecting God, mocking the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, mocking those children of God who has carried that gospel of Jesus Christ, when God shows up in the clouds with the armies of heaven, that's not going to be a good day for them. Amen? Because they're going to know it's too late. I rejected this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I rejected His message of love. I rejected His message of salvation. I turned my back and I just sought after the pleasures of my life. But there's going to be a whole other group of people, and I hope we all are in that group of people this morning when we look up and we see, there He is! The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His day has come. Our day has come. My day has come. No more of this foolishness on this earth. So will we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. And we are the children of the King. Amen? Don't lower yourselves to the things of this world. Amen? The world has nothing to offer. Anything that the world has to offer is just passing. Paul calls it the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen? But like D.L. Moody says, all of Satan's apples have worms. Amen? Oh, this might be a good apple till you find that worm. And what's worse than finding a worm in an apple? Finding a half a worm in the apple. Amen? I don't want anybody here to bite into that apple and find a worm or whatever. We need to know that the life that we are living is the one that has been assigned for us by the Word of God, by the testimony of God. He foreknew us before the foundations of the earth. He formed us in our mother's womb. That's how special we are to Him. He isn't going to let anything go to chance. He's going to put us together. I like that the King James in the Hebrew says, and He knit us together, David said. He knit me together in my mother's womb. And doctors say that's the closest thing that they can say to what happens in the mother's womb. It's just like somebody knitted on some skin and knitted in, you know, just knitted it on. Here we are. Who did that? Oh, evolution did that. No. Amen. God did that. Amen? Amen. You don't listen to the world that tells you you're goofy, that you have no hope, that you have a child's faith or whatever. You know that Jesus is the King of Kings. We recognize You, Jesus, as our King of Kings. Lord God, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us. We thank You for Christ the King Sunday. Lord, I pray